Congratulations. You're a part of the revolution.
It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction.
The place where we want to hear from Big Orange Country about today's game. To get online now,
865-200-5402.
865-200-5402.
And now, let's get to your host, Tony Basilio.
And we welcome you into another edition of your Smart Way Dalton Behring Hydraulics Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Tony Basilio reporting from Deep West Knoxville. I will join you on the phone for the next 20 minutes or so, and then for hours I will be ensconced in the Ray Mirror studio as Tennessee loses today 19-14. If you want to get in with us, our number is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. I can be nothing but 100% proud of those kids on that football team. They have had four gut-splitting results this year, including today where they go on the road to the University of Alabama, and they play the Crimson Tide literally off their feet and do everything but win the football game. They beat the Tide at the point of attack for a decent part of the game. They controlled the line of scrimmage defensively at times. They rushed the passer deftly, sacking Coker several times. But the numbers do not tell the story. The real story lies in the fact that Tennessee left 9 points on the field in the form of three missed field goals, two of which were makeable. And it's just literally a gut-splitting result. This is a football team that's had four of these games now. Four heartbreaking results. And when you go through it and you think about the big lead against Arkansas, I count that in the heartbreaking category because it was on the heels of that Florida game, which was just a rip-your-guts-out result. The Oklahoma game was a rip-your-guts-out result. And today, and you got to think sooner or later, this young group of volunteers is going to get over the hump. But as it is, you got to take what's in front of you, and you got to take the truth. And the truth is, Tennessee's not doing enough things to win these games. I bring in Russell Smith, whose voice they will not silence. I welcome him into the Ray Mirror studio tonight. Russell, I'd like your first thoughts, as we are very raw here, and we'll unpack this one tonight, a 19-14 loss by a Tennessee team that many people were laughing at me earlier in the week for saying I thought Tennessee would have a chance to win this game in the fourth quarter. I thought that all week, and I don't know why I thought that, but I had a feeling that Texas A&M took a lot out of Alabama. You're playing a team 8 straight games and 8 straight days. But Tennessee did everything expected of them. And I hate to sound emotional here, but I hurt for those kids. And I hurt for this fan base. And boy, it hurts. It really hurts. Russell, get in here. Give me your thoughts.
Oh, man. I'll echo what you say, Tony. I mean, you got to be proud of your team if you're a Tennessee fan today. I mean, the Vols laid it all on the line. I got to be honest, I wasn't expecting such a close game. I thought Bama would win the game decisively. Tennessee came out there fired up and from the get-go and played a really good game. It still hurts when things don't work out your way, but there is no doubt that Tennessee and Butch Jones has closed the gap considerably in terms of talent. I mean, this is the first time they've been competitive in this game in 6 years. So, I mean, I know that you don't like moral victories. I don't like moral victories, and I'm not claiming one by any stretch of the imagination. It still sucks to lose, but you look at the rest of the way, and you've got a chance. You're going to be favorites in all these games. There's no reason Tennessee can't win out and go 8-4, which is the plateau, the goal, the benchmark that we all, most reasonable fans, set before the season. You got a chance to win some SEC games here and beat up on some of the teams that you should be better than now. They've made so much progress, it hurts to lose, but I feel good about the future, Tony.
What we saw from Alabama tonight in winning time was a team that knows how to win. And quite frankly, what we saw from Tennessee tonight in winning time is a team that's just not quite there. And they are so, so close and yet so far away. Because here's my concern. Sooner or later, you continue to have your guts ripped out, and that's four of them now this year. And really, honestly, Arkansas beat Tennessee pretty thoroughly, so let's just say three gut-splitting results. At minimum, you should get one of those games. If there's justice in the sports world, at minimum, you should get one. This team, just for whatever reason, in money time, Russell, I ask you this, because a lot of people at Cassie's today were asking me. McElwain last week was having all kinds of trouble. Florida's having trouble with their kicking game, and they had an open tryout among their student body. I know on Tennessee's campus we've got the Bullet kid from West who got hurt early, and they've never really, I don't want to say given him a shot, because I don't like the way that sounds, but
they haven't. I mean, if you're going to make a change at kicker, and I don't want to beat up on Medley because they were long field goals. I mean,
I'm
not going to blast him missing 50.
But he's not even close. Russell, he's not even close.
Well, hit the upright on one.
No, they called that. That was the one when they froze him.
Yeah, but I mean, still, he is close. And somebody, we got Richard Darty, by the way, here, Tony, my co-host.
Oh, Richie, I'm sorry, my lovely producer. And
don't blame it on Mrs. B. Don't even try that, Tony. I won't allow it.
Richie, I'm so sorry.
We flush people, Tony. I'm not afraid to flush you right here on your own show.
I mean,
We're fresh and raw here, Richard. Give me your thoughts.
I echo everything that you guys have been saying. I mean, Tennessee, whenever they fought hard. I mean, this team's coming close. They're showing that they're closing the gap with some of these top teams. They've just got to find a way to get over the hump. I mean, once again, you have the lead in the fourth quarter, and they're unable to make the plays at the end when it counts. But the team fought hard. I mean, we talked about it, you know, several times. This team went down there with a chance to win. Some people didn't give them a chance, but they went down there and they proved this is a good football team that's making progress. They've just got to find a way to get over the hump.
What you notice tonight, and I don't have the final numbers in front of me. One of you guys dig them up, please. What I find mind-boggling is that you could sack the quarterback as many times as Tennessee did and not come out of there with a win on the road. And look, I give Alabama a lot of credit on that final drive. They made some championship catches,
yep,
some championship throws, and you knew, Henry, that's the quietest 100-plus yard performance you're ever going to see. I knew that he'd be beat up. I was counting on that coming into this game, and they held him back in the first half. They obviously didn't use him. He obviously was beat up after all the contact he's had, and obviously their plan was, we're better than Tennessee. We can get through this game without him in a huge way, and I think he ends up carrying what the ball 21 or 22 times. It certainly was a far cry from his 30-plus carries where they've been really using him at certain times. And so Alabama got away with it tonight, and Tennessee really let them off the hook. That's a game right there where the result could have been and should have been a Tennessee victory. But here's the thing I'm not going to do. I am not going to blame the head coach for this game. I'm not going to blame the coordinators for this game, although I will say there was definitive third and long in that game tonight, and they refused to blitz. God bless our coordinator. They refuse to play the game aggressively. But that's the way they're going to play. It is what it is. And Butch Jones, you know, his game management tonight wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. He took kind of an odd timeout with a second and four-plus minutes to go in a game. That was a little strange. He has his moments. We all know that. But for the most part, I thought Tennessee's offensive game plan tonight, guys, was very good. And I like the ball. We've been saying it all year. I like the fact that they ran the ball between the tackles. Jerry Colquitt told us in our film breakdown earlier in the week we'd be able to do that. And sure enough, guys, Tennessee ran that damn football right at Alabama's vaunted front seven and made them like it tonight. Made them like it tonight, guys.
Yeah, I'm not, Tony, I'm with you on Butch Jones. I was just sitting here thinking, though, were some of his transgressions earlier this season, the chart incident, not going for two at Florida, has he set the bar so low that we don't want to jump on him? Because, I mean, I'm with you. I'm not going to pin this on Butch or the coordinators, but there were definitely a couple of, you know, I think they definitely wasted a lot of possessions offensively in the first half. I'm with you on not being more aggressive defensively on some of those third downs. The timeout, I thought, with 3 minutes to go on first and 10 from the 19 was a terrible decision. You don't do that right now. But none of that stuff was cataclysmic like some of his earlier blunders this year. So maybe he's getting better in that regard.
I want to believe that. I mean, another thing that I'd question about tonight, and I'm not, again, when a coach and staff has their guys prepared to play the way Tennessee's kids were prepared to play today,
Yep. It's
really hard to pick at them, because the reality is you're still a year away from moving time, okay? Next year is the money year. We all know that. And it's going to be the year where they're going to come into the season with high expectations, and they should. It's year four for him. In big-time football, if you can't do it in year four, or at least show some really tremendous progress year four-wise, then we'll go find another coach. And that's just the reality of the way things work in the Southeastern Conference. It's just the way it works. I'll say tonight, there really wasn't much to pick at. Personally, I would not have attempted with the line of scrimmage being the 37-yard line, a 51-yard field goal with a kicker that's fighting himself. I would have gone for it there. In fact, I would have said to my kids, guys, when we're on the plus side of the field, the rest of this game, we're not kicking field goals. We are coming here to win this damn football game, and we're going to either walk out of here in one piece or we're going to walk out of here in two pieces. But we're going to walk out of here knowing that we're shooting every single bullet at these guys. And I know you're going to say, well, hindsight 2020. That would have been my approach. And I was talking with a couple guys that played that were at Cassie's today, former Vols, and they basically said the same thing. Now, you would love to see at some point your coach say, guys, when we're on the plus side and we're in that tweener yardage, and certainly the 34-yard line, facing fourth down and 12 or fourth and 11, whatever it would have been, why not?
I'm with you there, Tony. I would not have trotted him out there. The kid already missed two. And to give Medley a little bit of a break, those were long field goals. I mean, those are definitely
long field goals.
Chip shots any way you could say it. But at the same time, once you've seen the kid miss two, you know his confidence is shaken. And not only that, he missed two, but he also missed the one where Saban iced him. So in technically, he
yep.
sat there and watched three kicks miss. You knew he had to be rattled. I'm not sure why you're trotting him out there kicking a long field goal. If anything, if you're not going to go for it, you don't feel comfortable doing that, take the delay game penalty, back up, and then let Trevor Daniel try to pin that team deep and play field position. But I just don't see the logic in trotting a kicker out there with no confidence to attempt a 51-yarder. Then you give them a short field when he misses. I think that was a little
bit. But again, I think that's, I think, obviously, we're together. A lot of people are going to say, no, you play for points there. It's a low-scoring football game. You got a guy that's on scholarship. You have to kick the ball. and I get that too. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that that's kicking a field goal from the 1 foot line. Like Russell said, I don't think there's anything in tonight's game that rises to that level. I just think that's one of the things that makes football such an interesting game, because it, either way, it's, you can sit there and have a conversation about it. So that's why we love this game so much. I'm just saying that's not what I would have done at the time. I kind of wrote it down, but there's really not a lot tonight to pick at other than to say, when are we going to get, as a program, as a fan base, as those kids on that team? Let me tell you something, guys. Those kids on that team have 4 losses. That is not a 4-loss football team. Mm-hmm. Now, I want everybody to understand something here. They said, why were you so irate after the Florida game, after the Oklahoma game? Because we're not a 4-loss football team. Look how well the Vols played today. Alabama, who is an elite team in college football. Now, they're not elite compared to some of the Alabama teams of past. This is not one of Saban's best teams. But in college football this year, all things being relative, that's a damn good Alabama football team.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee rocked them today. Beat them up at the line of scrimmage at times. Unless I was watching a different game. I saw Coker running for his life. And by the way, what do you have to do in that league to get an intentional grounding penalty?
Yeah, there were definitely a few of those.
What do you have to do? What do you have to do in that league to get an intentional grounding penalty?
Hey, Butch Jones is at the podium, Tony. You want to hear some, you want me to bring you some highlights here? I know you love some Butch Jones podium talk.
It's critical.
I thought our team showed some grit and resiliency. Butch Jones says,
he's
really, really proud of our team. Thought we showed some grit and resiliency, but at Tennessee, there are no moral victories. Quote Butch Jones. Just
a great quote.
Ago.
I love hearing my head coach say that. Hey guys, I love, kudos to him. I love hearing my head coach say that.
Says he thinks our strength and conditioning with youngsters showed tonight what we're building and becoming.
Agreed.
Praising the strength and conditioning. Says he thinks Jalen Hurd deserves to be in the conversation as one of the best backs in America.
Agreed.
He also says here, Russell, Butch Jones said he considered going for it on Medley's third miss, but they were still confident in Medley because, quote, he makes those in practice.
Oh. We're back to the whole, yeah, you're going to stay here. No, you're getting off too soon. I'm sorry. I'm in transit here with my son, and he's 16, and it's raining out here, and yeah, you were right. I'm sorry. Well, you can stay in this plane.
All right,
you
so,
like it, Richie? You like the driving, the...
For those of you keeping track at home, here. Tony's thrown his wife and his son under the bus now. First 10 minutes of the fifth quarter.
Beautiful.
Mid-season.
Hang on, I got one thing to share with my son. Anthony, the chart says you always stay in the left lane on that.
He's not throwing the coaches under the bus, just family tonight. That's it.
You want to take a shot at your daughter here while you got a minute, Tony? We'll give you that time.
John? Well, you know, her attitude, her... Never mind. TMI. I love my daughter to death. Guys, let's go to the phones. Dubsy, I want you to help me or Miss B coordinate that. How are we on phone calls? Do we have phone calls?
Load it up. Let's do it. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Go ahead. Did we kill Tony? We blowed up Tony.
Yeah.
Butch Jones also says this loss feels no different. Every loss is painful because you invest so much in it. We believed we were going to win this game. And I think that showed up too. The players had a little bit of that Tennessee swagger we've heard so much about. Rich, on the way over here, I made the comment, you know, and not taking anything away from Tennessee or either team, but I guess I am taking away something from Alabama. They didn't appear to me to be, you know, exactly an inspired bunch.
No, they were a bit flat out there, no doubt about that. And you know, they talked about it on the telecast. That was their 8th straight game, and that did look kind of like a worn-out football team at times. But when they had to, they made plays at the end.
Let's bring Tony back in here. Tony, I was just making the comment. I felt like Alabama and Tennessee, credit them for taking advantage of this at time. I don't think that Alabama exactly appeared to be a very inspired bunch this afternoon. That's
They're
a tired team.
Hey, you know what? They're exhausted. That's your eighth straight game. You're coming off a bye week. You talk about a perfect spot. Then they have a bye week. Then they have LSU. And they know if we get past this tough Tennessee team, and I'm telling you guys, people don't believe we have elite-level talent on our football team. They're out of their minds when you watch tonight's game. That, by definition, that Tennessee played with tonight is a very good to playoff-caliber Alabama football team that Tennessee scared the living daylights out of today. You don't do that. Let me put you this way, guys. Kentucky ain't doing that.
No.
Missouri ain't not doing that.
Missouri
Auburn
can't even move the ball on Vandy.
That at the end of the year.
All right, we're going to try a phone call again here. I think we got the kinks worked out. Hello, caller. You're up first this evening on the fifth quarter. State your name and your quest.
V. Brady.
How about that?
Wow.
What's on your mind, Brady?
What's up, Brady? Welcome in.
Tony, man, you know what? I feel like I had my somebody reached in my throat and yanked my heart out. But this, you know, I'm just going to be the first one to point fingers. Listen, we got some problems on this team. And the guy that's kicking off the tee and kicking extra points, he's our biggest problem right now. I mean, that guy cost us today. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I know this is not very popular, but let's be realistic. Our kicker cost us this game today.
Yep. And
I don't know what to say, man. I don't want to say that, but you know, unfortunately, that's where we're at, man. And I'm literally physically exhausted from this game. We had a chance.
You know what? If I can add one thing, he's had several misses this year, and it's kind of like Russell said before, which if the guy was having an All-American type year. And he had a game like that, we would all look at it and go, well, you know, it sucks that we lost Alabama. It sucks that we have four losses now. But the guy has really had a solid year. This is a guy who, from the Bowling Green State University game, has struggled out loud. And I don't know what the deal is there. I guess nobody really does. I've always likened kickers to relief pitchers, and here's my thing with relief pitchers. When my closer goes bad, and he goes bad for three straight games, I go get me another one. I mean, you just, at some point, you're going to have to look at this thing and go, yes, those were three long kicks, but yes, you're on scholarship. And the truth is, he only really came close on one of them, the one that Dubsy was talking about that hit the post, hit the upright. And you know what, guys, hit me upright, it's not good enough.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just not.
Well, you look
at just not.
Look at it, Tony, on the season, he's 9 of 17 for the year, 3 for 5 on kicks between 20 to 29. That's not going to get it done in big-time SEC football. You've got to do better than that.
No,
time to make a change, I think.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Brady, and look, here's what I don't want. I don't want anybody breaking redneck on him.
No.
I don't want anybody calling his dorm tonight and death threatening him or getting his phone number or any of that crap that goes on in modern, these kids have to put on in the social media age. Like the kid at Michigan last week who fumbled the ball. I mean, let me tell you something. That Medley kid feels worse than anybody tonight. I can promise you that. I can promise you that kid feels horrible tonight because he has to sit there in that locker room. Now, you imagine what that feels like after a week of work knowing that you are representing a program that's had so little, and you got and seniors on your football team that have had so little that this game would have meant so much to Brady, and you got to face those guys and look them in the eye and go from locker to locker and go, I am so sorry. I mean, you know that's what that kid's going through right now. So, look, do I fault you for saying that? No. I mean, I think it's true. But I also think, in the totality of it, at some point it becomes your fault if you continue to send him out there. A kid that's 9 of 17, how many did you say, Richie, from what should be chip shot range? What did you say the numbers are?
He is 9 of 17 on the earth, and he is 3 for 5 between 20 and 29.
Yeah, it's just not going to work. I mean, that's an extra point in the NFL. That's 3 for 5. I mean, there's just no way. You can't defend that.
The other thing with him is he's never shown consistency beyond 40 yards. That was the question mark coming into the season.
Yeah.
He struggled there last year. You hope that he would have gotten better in the offseason, but to this point, he hasn't done it. He just hasn't. And if he can't get that done, then I think you've got to open things up, and you've got to see if you've got somebody else that can maybe do a little better job. Even if he hits it in practice, he's not hitting in the game, and that's what counts.
I would agree, Brady.
I'm telling you,
with the thought that I think we can all agree that it's time to make a change. Medley's not getting it done. I would disagree, Brady, with your point that he cost us the game. I mean, Alabama. Well, they ended kneeling the ball at Tennessee's goal line. They could have scored more points. It's frustrating, but I don't think you can pin it on any one aspect of Tennessee's approach.
I think if anything, you could talk about the offense and the fact that when they had to, they made plays, but in the first half, especially in the second quarter, when they started off with a bad field position, they stayed very, very conservative. They failed to move the ball, and early in the game, Dobbs was in a rhythm. He had the passing game working. And then when they kind of took the air out of the ball and they just decided to be more conservative and run at everything, then he lost that rhythm and it took him a while to get it back. If you're going to be Butch Jones, you're going to talk about 3-5 plays being the deciding factor, you've got to do that the whole game long.
Dr. Sean Sinclair, who will join us later, has a real good observation that he's made about our staff through the Butch Jones era thus far, 2+ years, under a couple of different coordinators, and it's this. If there's anything you can really criticize about them, it's that in the middle third of the game, they seem to lose their way at times. And I don't know if that happened tonight. I hate to sound like a nerd, but I have to really go back and look at it and see if that happened tonight, but that has happened this year. I don't know if today is one of those deals where they just quit doing things that seemingly work. I will say this. I've been calling for it all year. I love seeing Jalen Hurd run between the tackles. He is a hell of a running back. Give him the ball and let him do his thing. Quit running him outside. When he scored that touchdown tonight that gave Tennessee that lead, it was between the tackles. When he scored the touchdown against Florida, when Butch pulled his chart out, he ran between the tackles. He ran between the tackles effectively the last time out against Georgia. Why don't they just use him for the way God intended for him to be used? Run him between the tackles. It is so fun to watch that kid run the football between the tackles. Anything else for us, Brady, or has Brady left the building?
No, I'm still here, Tony.
Right,
hey, listen, let's don't sugarcoat this thing, man. I hear W and everything, trying to take up for the coaching staff, and that's fine. You know what? Our kicker cost us the game today, but our kicker has been an issue all season. And, a change should have been made way before we went to Tuscaloosa. So it all falls back on our head coach's laugh. And,
how do you say that though? But the guy's an All-America candidate. He has a huge leg. He's regarded as one of the most, gifted kickers around. Now he's 9-17 and today, obviously, you owe it to the guys in the locker room now to let somebody else have the job for a while. You just do. You can't continue to trot him out there because the truth is, you're going to be on the road next week, Halloween, close game up in Kentucky. I'm expecting it to be close. And, Kentucky's going to be able vertically to move the ball against our defense. They just are. And, I don't know.
I'm with Richie. I don't think I'd put him back out there. Not on a Halloween night. No way. Not in Lexington. I wouldn't do that to him. Because at some point it becomes unfair to your kids and unfair to him. That's not, but I don't, I disagree, Brady. I think today you had to let him, you had to give him a shot to kick his way out of it. He's proven he can do it in the past.
Well, he gave him a shot today. This is after game. What I'm saying is this kid, you know, whatever that scholarship is worth, man, you know, it's time to go ahead and reevaluate that.
Yeah. I agree.
This guy, you know, I'm sorry, man. You know, I guess I'll just be blunt, Tony. The guy's got a spaghetti leg. He can't kick it between the uprights when it counts. I mean, can you argue with that?
I mean, wouldn't say that he's got a spaghetti leg. He's got 90% of the accuracy.
Brady, thank
this
you.
Guy,
thank you, Brady.
This guy is not.
We got to get some car pace here, Tony. I feel like that went on way
thank
too
you,
long.
Brady, yeah.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. The Italian in me is offended by the use of the term spaghetti leg. Plus, we shouldn't call a scholarship player unless he kicks for another team, and we're making fun of a Bammer, a spaghetti leg. But let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulics, fifth quarter fan reaction. Thank you for joining us.
If you have coupons, drive your cart and follow the instructions on the FinPack.
Somebody's at Kroger's going through self-checkout there. Let's put him on hold. We'll come back. And,
that's pretty darn cool.
Can we do that?
Get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
There we go. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Go ahead and state your case.
Hey, this is Mike. Can you hear me?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Welcome in, man.
Hey, Tony. Thank you. First of all, let me tell you that last week was my christening to your show. And my God, man, you saved a lot of lives around Knoxville the last several years. Jesus, that was the most hilarious radio I've ever heard. And it was very soothing. So thank you. In terms of today... this is not Butch's fault, and it was obviously the kicker's fault. I happen to work with Bullock's brother, who says that at practice he's basically the same kicker as Medley, and I think that everybody that went to the Orange and White game saw that Bullock obviously has the leg. My question would be, why has Bullock not gotten the chance at this point? I mean, how many number one kickers can we turn into the worst kicker in the SEC at this point, Tony?
Now, that is a great question because we've had a lot of ballyhooed guys that have come through here, and it's not just the Butch Jones deal. We've had a lot of ballyhooed kickers come through here that, for whatever reason, guys, just there's a disconnect when they get here. I mean, that's a pretty darn good observation. As far as the Bullock thing, Russell, you've done... Russell, you've done a lot more high school football than me, play-by-play-wise. That kid had a tremendous reputation when he was here, yes?
Oh, absolutely. He was a fine kicker. I mean, there's a reason Derek Dooley offered him a scholarship when he had other kickers on board. I was wondering whether or not he was on the travel roster, you know, because they have to make hard decisions. They're only allowed to bring, you know, 50-something guys down there, but... I did see some photo confirmation. UT Sports posted a photo of him on the team plane, so he was there, and it's very puzzling why he didn't get a shot today. But after the game, Butch was asked about it. He said, "I love Aaron Medley. He's our kicker." So seemed to give him at least a slight vote of confidence going forward. But I would think that at the very least, you've got to open that job up for competition this week.
Yeah, I would totally agree. The word rationalization at this point, is there a fan base in this country that knows the definition of that word better than us? I mean, my God, has anybody felt better about a loss the last 8 years than us? I mean, yeah, we played great today. We should have beat them. I mean, three or four turnovers that they should have had, and they get none of them. You know, Dobbs, hold on to the ball. I mean, I know I'm speaking out of left field right now, but my God, I feel sick at this point trying to rationalize the fact that we played good enough to barely lose the game. Tony, talk me off the ledge here.
There's no talking. I mean, the truth is, here's the truth. We are the Chicago Cubs of football right now. That's what we are. The Chicago Cubs are a year away, and they were happy to be there. You know what the truth is, Mike, tonight? We're a year away, and you were happy to be in that game at the end of the game. That's just the truth. Should we have won the game? Yes. We should have won
the
game.
That's the sad part, Tony.
That's what's sad.
37 people over my house right now, and half of them are sitting here rationalizing the fact that, oh, it's the fourth quarter, and there's 4 minutes to go, and by God, we're in this game. No, we're Tennessee, and we should have won that damn game. I'm sick of this. We've got talent right now. Mm-hmm. We've got the same talent as Alabama in terms of the starting 11 on both sides. Hell, we may not be as deep as them, but by God, we have put up with this crap for 7 or 8 years. Can we please get a freaking win at this point? You know, Georgia's great. Georgia's great. South Carolina a couple times is cute. Alabama is the thing that puts us over the hump, Tony. You know that as well as I do.
Guys?
It's
maddening. It is.
Yeah, I agree that should be the attitude of we're Tennessee and we're here to win. But the reality is it's just not. I think some of that is on Butch Jones. It's going to have to be, and you alluded to this earlier, Tony, it's going to have to be the case next year. He's going to get his mulligan this year, if you want to call it that.
Yep.
But it's...
And here's the thing, Mike. Here's the thing, guys, that really confounds me about this, Mike. If I'm a player on that team, this wears on me. Because I walked out there and played well enough to win in our four losses, three of the four times, and I started well enough to win all four of those games. I maintain that the Arkansas game happened because Tennessee was fried emotionally after that Florida game. Mm-hmm. I just think it was a complete hangover. Mike, as sure as I'm sitting here tonight, I was saying all week on my program that I thought Tennessee would play this team off their feet because I thought they were catching a tired team at the right time. Coming off an off week and all that. Mike, I'm really concerned about next Saturday night in Lexington. Now, you guys can laugh at me if you want. I'm concerned about the mental state of our team. How many times can you go to the well?
I'm with you, Tony. It's cute to say that we're going to win out. We're going to win out. We're playing this, that, and the other. We're going to win out.
Next week scares me.
8-4 season, whatever.
It's Halloween.
We got to win the games, boys and girls. We got to win the games. What about the last 7 or 8 years has anybody sitting here saying, we're going to win out?
I agree with that.
I think the one thing that you were hoping in this Alabama game, you saw it coming down again, but you were hoping that they would take some confidence from that Georgia game and be able to carry that forward. But I think one thing to remember, too, is Alabama's a championship-caliber team. Those guys are used to making plays, and when they had to, they made those plays.
Right.
Tennessee's got to get to the point where they expect to make those plays.
The thing I would say at this point is we are ready to win these games. I don't think there's a guy on that team that doesn't think we can win these games.
Agreed.
But, mm-hmm. boys and girls, there's that black cloud across our heads that tells us we can't win these games. We have not won a single game when it's come down to the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game for the last 7 or 8 years.
It's not a Butch Jones thing. It's exactly right. It was a Lane Kiffin thing. It was a late in Philip Fulmer's careerist thing. Of course, it was a Dooley thing. He couldn't get out of his own damn way. And so you have a pattern there. So you have several classes of kids that have played hard, who have tried, who have done the right thing, who have been solid citizens. And what do you have to show for it? You got a bunch of jogging suits. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of attaboys, and boy, we were close tonight. Sooner or later, man, that does wear you out. It really does. But you know what? Here's what I'm hanging my hat on. I'm telling you guys, Alabama, as far as college football goes this year, is a great football team. And Tennessee, as sure as I'm sitting here, had them on the ropes. The champ was staggered. He was staggering around, guys.
We scored two.
We did,
it's
Tony.
Like in soccer,
we did,
though.
Tony. Florida tells you you're correct. Oklahoma tells you you're correct. Unfortunately, we're sitting here and we hadn't won a damn one of them.
Mm. Thank you. Have a great night. Thanks for being there.
Hey, you
man.
Too, Tony. Seriously, thank you for what you do because these radio broadcasts, they get a lot of people by. We appreciate you. We love you. Go Vols. I know I'm sounding negative, but go Vols, damn it.
It's group therapy.
I think part of what we learned is that when you have a program that's at the top like Tennessee was in the 90s, you can't let things start dwindling down to the point where you get to the point where you don't have guys that have experienced winning on your roster. then they can't teach those young guys how to expect to win.
We got to that point a long time ago.
I agree. But once you get past that point, it takes you a while to get back. Yeah. You've got to bring in a special caliber of kid that blocks all that crap out. They bring the winning that they have from high school.
I think they got some of those.
I think they do too, but they've got to get more.
And I know that Chance Hall kid got roughed up on that last critical fumble play. But
he played his heart out.
Yeah, those guys, I mean, they've been an improvement. No offense to Dylan Wiesman and Brett Kendrick, but those guys are nasty. They score that last touchdown
right behind
those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't
think
those guys
did a lot of damage running behind those two guys. 865-200-5402. We had an incredible listener watch party at Kazzy's. I want to thank my friends at Shock Top, Bud Light. I want to thank Kazzy's for having me out there. I want to thank everybody that came. Russell and Richie's voice for now has been silenced, but it won't be because they're too good at what they do. And they'll echo what I'm about to say, which is, without you, we're not able to do what we're doing. It's real simple. And it was really fun today. It was really touching. We scored that last touchdown. I'm getting kind of emotional thinking about it because it was just...
Place went nuts.
Well, you know, I'm looking over there and I'm looking at my son who's 16 and I'm thinking, you know, in a couple years he's going to be off to school. And in my mind I'm thinking sooner or later, you can see I'm getting kind of misty-eyed thinking about it. And I apologize for that, guys, but I'm like this. Sooner or later, we're going to get to experience a win together. And I don't know, why does everybody else get to win? We don't get to win. Well, can't we win a damn game like that?
Let's not feel too sorry for ourselves. I mean, the Georgia win was a good moment. Let's embrace that and celebrate that. I know.
What, are we going to make a home video out of that one game? I mean, we have a $300 million athletic budget. I want to win another damn game this year.
You got to turn those kind of games into habits. You got to make.
Well, that's right.
You got to make winning a habit.
And it was so close. Because if you win that game tonight, then Mike's on here saying we're running the table.
Yeah.
Because now we have proof that we have a trend here. Right now, people are going, yeah, we're going to run the table. Well, I mean, okay. We're going to run the table. Let me say a word here. I love what we did today. I hate that it didn't turn out right. We're going to do it again for the Missouri game. Smartway, thank you for your sponsorship. Online at gosmartway.net. 8416 Kingston Pike near Bearden High School. Everything for your home. You pay your way, home of Be Smart, Buy Smart, Smart Way, and Professor Smarty, for whatever you're looking for from the house, from appliances, furniture, electronics, cell phones, even have tires. They're going to take great care of you at Smart Way. Be Smart, Buy Smart. And the best part of all is all on-time lease payments earn 2% in-store cash credit, used anytime you want, when you want it. Also, our friends at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. Randy, I'm sorry. I'm trying to gather myself here. In the business of providing exceptional service, unbeatable prices, and they're going to take great care of you at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. And Randy has grown that thing from a place working on a card table to a huge worldwide concern. Right from Granger County, Tennessee. They are a tremendous success story. Last year they sold over 400,000 AC and DC hydraulic cylinders and power units. And Randy, it's been my go-to line, man. You guys have hoses, hose assemblies, fittings, couplings. I'm not really sure what a lot of that is. But you also sell millions and millions of bearings. Randy, I'm running short on bearings. Do you guys find yourselves like I am right now with this year? You just look at it and go,
what could have been?
How much? This team is so close, guys, from being a playoff caliber football team. They're really close.
Yeah.
Look at Michigan. I mean, dare I say more?
Well, they've got to develop that confidence. That's the next step. And I think so
much. How do you do that?
So much of it is on Butch Jones. I think that he's got to set the tone. He's got to come out there. You can't be making excuses before the season, talking about your youth.
talk your team up a little bit. I remember when Bruce Pearl took that first team of his down to Austin to play that top 10 Texas team with all those great players before Tennessee had done anything, and we were still the Buzz Peterson Tennessee basketball program. And Pearl told his team in pregame warmups, I want you to go out there with a little swagger. I want Texas to look down at the other end of the court and say, who the hell are these guys? What's up with these guys? And they went out there and blew the doors off that Texas team that day and went on a run. Tennessee's got to figure out a way to get something similar, because we talk about the losing being bred into the team.
Yes.
And I think that they've got to, I mean, at some point, Butch Jones has got to say enough is enough. Hashtag no excuses. We're going out there to win. We shouldn't even be talking about a moral victory today. But Tennessee's now. That shouldn't even be on the table.
No.
Forget that. Anybody who says that is a loser. And we're not going to tolerate loser talk around here.
Well, he didn't say it was a moral victory, though. He said we don't deal in moral victories here. There's nothing wrong with
Be stronger than that. Say
we lost the game. That's that's not what we came down here to do. We played well. That's fine. And
losing
all good,
is unacceptable.
But we didn't come down here to lose. Can you develop the confidence now when you've got these last five games? Even if you go 5-0,
that's the point.
Given the opponents and their struggles. Even if you beat them, do you develop that unless maybe you get to a bowl game and play
a
good team?
It's a great question. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Hello, caller. I'm sorry. I was poor by me. I had you down there. Go right ahead. My bad.
This Travis. How you doing?
Hey, Travis. Welcome in, man.
Hey, we're on our way, Tony. I mean, we had two freshmen on the right side of the football. How can you guys not say that we're not on our way, or that's not a moral victory? I mean, do you expect the two freshmen to block juniors and seniors?
Yes. Do you think Alabama expected Calvin Ridley to catch that pass on that final drive to help set up that touchdown?
You've got guys out there because they're good football players.
I'm gonna tell you, Travis, what a couple former players told me today at Cassie's, and I don't have a dog in this fight, okay? Because I'm kind of with you. I had a couple guys say to me, when you're out on that football field, you're expected to do your job. Mm-hmm. And at this point in the year, you're seven games in, youth is no longer an issue. And Alabama had true freshmen making plays today. But I do love
our... Not on the interior line.
I love our young offensive linemen. I think they called their number a couple times, ran behind them for the go-ahead touchdown. I think those kids are going to be great players.
I agree.
And they answered, and the only time they didn't answer was when it was third and long or second and long, when Butch put them in a bad situation, when he ran the ball up the middle, and put them in a situation where they knew it was a throwing down. And then they could pin their ears back and attack. Get the freshmen on the line a break. We are so young. We are on our way. We took Bama, that's nothing but juniors and seniors and a couple of five-star freshmen, to the line today.
We're so close. You know what makes it so frustrating? And the reason you got passion in your voice that I love is that if we can just have one of those games back from earlier in the year, our kids have played so hard in those four losses. If you just get one of them, and the kids deserve one of them. That's the thing about it. Those kids deserve to win at least one of those games. Because truly, they deserve to win today.
They did. Hey, we're a kicker away from being friggin' 7-0? We're a kicker away from being 7-0. Put his ass on the bench, man. Let somebody else get an opportunity. That's all I got to say, Tony. We're on our way, man. I love your show. Let's go. Hey, we don't give a damn about the whole state of Alabama still. Have a good night.
Thank you. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us. I'm going to bring Bino in here. Bino, sit tight. I'm going to mix you in with our calls. My partner in crime, low these many years, Bino the Great. Let me say this about the Alabama series. I love seeing Tennessee and Alabama play games like that. Low scoring, classic, rock'em sock'em, Southern college football. Tennessee did everything today but win that game. I'm so damn proud of our team, I can't see straight. And I mean that 1,000%, and I don't ever want to come across any other way tonight. Now, I'm going to get emotional at times. So's Dubsy. So's Richie. But all three of us agree that we are extremely proud to be Tennessee people tonight and the way those kids played. Let's get our next call in on your Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic. Fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Robbie, welcome.
A couple of things. The thing that disappointed me on that final drive, I thought that was a wasted play. I'm glad we ran Jalen between the tackles. I really wish that we had come out and attacked them the way we did on the drive before we scored the touchdown. Medley, I mean, as far as he goes, I mean, the kid's never made a kick over 50 yards in his career at UT, so why are we sending him out here expecting him to suddenly start hitting those kinds of kicks? I mean, I just, you know, I would have rather just gone for it on that one. You were talking about it earlier on the 37.
And the thing about those opportunities is, how many more times did Tennessee get the ball to that spot in that game? They got it one more time and they scored. That shows you how precious that is. You get in that plus side and you got Alabama. You know, my 16-year-old kid made a great point. He said, Dad, the way Medley's going right now, if you put one wide receiver out there and throw it up to him in triple coverage, you have just as much chance as him coming down, Malone, making the play on the ball, then that kid doesn't make it a 51-yard field goal. And that's a sad thing to say, but man, that poor kid's so in the tank right now. You're just not doing him any favors throwing him out there.
Are there any long-term ramifications? I mean, a game like that, that's mentally scarring.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. You're in that locker room tonight, and you know those guys in that locker room are looking at you, and they're going, kicker. Kicker. We're celebrating tonight if it's not for you. And it's not fair. It's not fair to him, because a football game is hundreds of plays. It's a hundred and some plays. It's not fair to him. But that's got to suck.
If we had sacked Coker on that final drive and made it second and 20, instead he scrambled back to almost the original line of scrimmage, I mean, who knows what happens? If Jancic decides not to have, you know, a spy yet again on a critical third down play, why are we spying quarterbacks that aren't going to beat us running it? That Coker kid was running for his life. He wasn't going to run, you know, 15 yards for first down.
I still say you go after those quarterbacks in that situation. You make them make the quick decision. You make them make the perfect throw.
Jerry
Glanville. Jerry Glanville told me on that play, the least you rush is five, and you probably rush seven. I mean, you just throw the kitchen sink at him and say, okay, kid, if you're going to make a fast decision, more power to you, but you're going to beat us. You're going to beat us right now. We're going to risk this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ridley, the Bama wide, for, you know, simple matter, Ridley and the Bama wide receivers bailed Coker out on that last drive of theirs. I mean, I wasn't impressed with that kid at all.
Well, Coker said as much of the post game. Yeah. He said he underthrew the balls, and they made great plays on the ball and made the plays for him and made him look good. I mean, they're fine wide receivers, but if you're Tennessee, I mean, once again, you got a chance to get off the field. You've got to figure out a way to make that play and get off the field right there.
Yeah, but just overall, this is kind of like the same feeling I had when, you know, we thought when Peyton, the year that we thought the streak was going to end and it didn't. You know, I'm not completely crushed like I was in this Florida or the Oklahoma game. It's just, and we just got to figure out a way to win one of these. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Well, it sucks because it's an opportunity to erase some of the disasters from the past. I mean, nobody expects you to win the game, but if you do, suddenly that changes the narrative from, oh, Tennessee's the team that choked away the Oklahoma and the Florida and the Arkansas game, to Tennessee's the team that started out kind of rough, but then they beat Georgia and Alabama, and now all of a sudden, I mean, you heard Gary Danielson say it, you know, the rest of the schedule looks like they're in pretty good shape. I mean, all of a sudden, you win that game, you're a player going for it. 8-4, you're talking about 9-3.
9-3.
Well, not only that, you're looking at it from a recruiting perspective. People are talking about where this class is ranked right now in the mid-teens, and then, you know, it's not as good as the past two. All of a sudden, if you could follow up that Georgia win with a big win at Alabama and then you run the table from there, I guarantee you, you've got recruits' attention and you've got guys that are going to be wanting to jump on board with what's going on here for the years to come.
Absolutely. I think the other, on the way out toward the other big thing is, I just hate that Bush has missed another opportunity to, you know, for lack of a better phrase, just to, he could have shanked Nick Saban in the lung in the prison shower today and really taken him out.
That would have been a real shot to Nick Saban, because that would have been two losses to them with LSU coming up. Boy, you talk about a fan base that would have been all over him, because Alabama didn't exactly manage that game well. If I'm an Alabama fan, I'm looking at that and going, why is Coker throwing the ball? What are we doing here? What are we trying to do? But
I think he's beat up.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, I think.
I mean, he was getting up slow.
Henry was not himself today, and we could have really taken advantage of that.
Part of my question then, though, is even if Henry is dinged up and tired, they were saying that's the healthiest Kenyon Drake's been all year. That's an explosive football player. How come you're not trying to get him the ball?
And I'm glad it happened, because we ended up in the game, guys, having 5 sacks. And how about this? 5 sacks, 10 tackles for loss. How do you lose a game where you have 5 sacks, 10 tackles for loss? That is tough to comprehend. You don't what?
You don't bring heat on critical third down plays when you're trying to get them off the field. Everybody does. It's like Coach Manville says. You got a quarterback like that who's not that great.
No.
That's
really true.
Back 5 times. You bring the house.
These guys are what they are, though. Our coordinators kind of are what they are. We know what they are. We know what they're going to do. And, hey, I'll give the guy on offense today some credit. I think DeBoard's had 2 pretty good games in a row, personally.
Is there any truth to the rumors that DeBoard had been up in that press box since last Tuesday? Is he still there? Somebody ought to go get him. Plane's leaving soon.
He's already in Lexington.
Thank you, Robbie.
See you,
bud. He's going to sit in a press box in Lexington for a week. Poor DeBoard.
We saw Josh Dobbs on the phone, so there was communication.
Which is a good sign. We've actually had, because he went
unless
one of the games.
Unless he's ordering a pizza, I don't know.
One of the games, he didn't speak to him on the phone for the whole game. So we've made, we're doing things now that are, you know, football-wise, we're making progress.
I love, like, football, the ultimate technology. We've got, like, headsets in the quarterback's helmet now, and they're still using the phone that your grandmother had to talk up in the press box.
By the way, Tony Robinson was really high on the rugby punt that we did tonight. What did you guys think of the rugby kick?
Trevor Daniel was huge.
That guy's been a weapon all year long. I mean, what can you say about him?
Let's get Bino in here. Bino, get in here. Thoughts?
Tony Russell, first I want to welcome Richie and Rick to the Misery Marathon. Welcome aboard, boys. Glad to have some more. Guys, I'm a long-tooth Tennessee fan, and I can't remember a year of more gut-wrenching heartbreaks than what we've seen this season. I mean, it's a recurring horror show where they just changed the script a little bit. I mean, we've had Friday the 13th,